Hello, you're listening to Fernando on That Much Further West podcast.
What are you saying? What you saying to me? What do you want me to believe? Everything you said turned out wrong. Busted and broken, all dead and gone. There's an old light coming up over the ridge. When a stone cold heart and very thin skin. Now darkness falls like a lightning flash. Takes all the present and erases the past. Who's gonna save me?
Welcome back into That Much Further West, the podcast. I'm Eric.
I'm Mike.
I'm Phil.
And we are here with Fernando. How are you, sir?
Good, boys. How you guys doing?
Yeah, we're good.
Doing well.
Everybody's in a really solid mood tonight after that Cubbies win last night, huh?
Ow. Pretty miraculous game.
Yep. Now, Cash, I think you had something to say about that game. What?
Cubs in seven in game four when we lost.
No, that wasn't.
That was like an abridged, censored version.
What was the other thing you said to us?
Curses!
This is the kind of show this is going to be, folks. That's hold on to your pants.
Yeah, this is normal. Well, as usual, we have a lot of friends in here, too, so we're excited to have everybody hanging out. We haven't been back here in a little while, so it's nice to be back in with you, Fern. It's a real treat.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for being in. So we just heard Save Me, which actually some of us were just talking about off the air. Great video. How did that all come about?
That ended up happening because a friend of mine, Tori, who used to live in Portland that currently lives in Spain, is married to Oriol Pug, who is a Pug, and he has a film company. They mostly do commercial stuff and, you know, for Mercedes and things like that, but they're trying to venture into animation and other projects, more artistic projects. So Tori kind of sold him the, you know, the song, and, you know, said that we were friends, and he listened to it and he felt some pity on me. And but he ended up picking the song that we already had like two videos for. So now we have like 66 videos for Save Me. And I hope you enjoy this. This is the best one, maybe. I don't know, but there's quite a few of them out there.
You could make that a challenge to your fans, right? Try and top that video and see how many submissions you get.
Yeah,
That could be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I got to pace myself because when you're doing things for getting things for free,
right?
You got to pull those out when you need them.
Save that card for later.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we've been really excited to hear about all your news. You're about ready to go on tour back over to Europe.
Yep. Yeah. I just heard I'm going out with Mark Eitzel for his new record, which is fantastic, by the way. And so, yes, I got the news. I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to do it, and it's going to be in February. So most of February and mid-March is when I come back home. Yep. So it'll be like 14 different countries, and yeah, it's crazy. I'm excited. And this time it looks like I might be going to Spain, too. They might be adding Spain to the end of the tour, which I didn't get to go on the last tour I did.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
That sounds horrible.
Yeah. Well, it's a lot. It's not as glamorous as it seems, but it's great though.
Yeah, being on tour, it's like, hey, it's a city.
Yeah,
hey, it's another city.
Right, right. Here's sound check. Sit around and wait.
Yeah, you always think I'm gonna see things during the day. No, you're sleeping as long as you can.
Right.
And then get up and get driving to the next town.
Right. Yeah, and we're literally driving because I'm going to be doing a lot of the driving on this tour.
And when you came back from Europe, you toured with Austin Lucas after that, did you?
Yeah, I did an Austin Lucas tour, which is great, and with this guy named Adam Fawcett, who's from Arkansas. It was great, and that was a really fun time. That was a couple of weeks, mostly through Texas, the Southwest, and the West Coast. And then about a month after that, I went out with the Jayhawks for a couple of weeks. Dan and Eccles and I went out like big theaters and like played the Fillmore for the first time and all that.
Oh, nice.
Like 1,000 people and all that. It was crazy. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. Yeah, those guys are great.
Yeah,
every night. Yeah, fantastic.
Well, since the Leave the Radio record came out, you've had just a ton of momentum out of that. I mean, it just seems like something constant all the time in your schedule. It's just...
I think people like John, who did a great job working at the United States, from Fluff and Gravy, who's sitting over here, so I got to kiss his ass a little bit. might give me a little extra royalty rate. Next record.
Extra half a penny per record.
0.001 like Spotify.
I'm gonna be rich.
I'm gold faucets for me from this point on. And but where were we with that? I got
the record and the momentum.
Oh, no, but the record, it's been good. And then my booking agent Chris Metzler is a label in Europe called Decor Records. He releases the records over there, and he's done a really good job. And he already had relationships with like Richmond Fontaine, and he releases their records, and he's put out, you know, done tours with Chuck Prophet, Alejandro Escovedo, Mark Eitzel, and Dan Stewart was another tour that I did, which was great. It's like 6 weeks with Dan from Green on Red. And so, you know, a combination of all those things, those guys have been keeping me busy. So.
And then the Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame.
Just about a month ago, our friend Fernando inducted into the Oregon Music Hall of Fame with a lot of your peers, too.
Yes, like with Pete really Krebs and Paul Brainerd, who's played on quite a few of my records. And who else was on there? A little band called Sleater-Kinney. You might have heard of them. Mm. No, it was good. It was a fun time. It was just weird, you know, those kind of awards, because I always feel that, you know, I played with so many great musicians that it kind of been a big part of my records, you know. And so kind of when you're, you know, quote unquote a solo artist, you know, you kind of, it kind of just felt weird for me to go up there and go, hey, yeah, it's all me, you know, kind of thing. So it's a great honor to get it. But at the same time, there were like people that I really, when I got the phone call, it's a funny story. I was in Belfast and I had been lobbying to get Jimmy Boyer, who had passed away, who people were not from Portland. He was a great songwriter from Portland, Oregon, that passed away in January. And so I'd been talking to Terry Curry, the president of the Hall of Fame Association, trying to get Jimmy in. So when I got the call, tell me I was getting in, I thought it was about Jimmy getting in. So I didn't sound too enthusiastic. And too, like, ah, like Terry's me? Like, yeah. She was like, are you excited about this? So it wasn't that. I wasn't excited. I was just hoping he'd get into it. So.
Probably an opportunity down the road.
Sure. We played his song at the induction ceremony. So hopefully we sent a little hint.
Super cool.
For next year.
Right.
Well done. So you had taken a considerable amount of time off because of your voice and stuff like that. So you're just out there hitting it as hard as you can now because, you know.
Well, you never know when it's going to get fucked up again. Yeah. You know what I mean? It was mostly my stomach that was the problem. And so for me, it was years of acid reflux pouring. It was a thing called hiatal hernia. And it's kind of kept my stomach open 24 hours a day. So all that acid was burning my vocal cords and into my esophagus. So it kind of prevented me from touring for over a decade. And so once I had the surgery, I'm like, well, you know, it doesn't hurt me anymore. Doesn't feel like I'm having a heart attack every day because of the reflux. And in my throat, you know, it's screwed up from screaming rock music for 30 years, but I could sing for 10 weeks, like on that tour that I did. So as long as I do that, I'm having fun and feel good, I'll do it, you know?
Excellent. Does that take a lot of, if you're going night after night after night, what is it you're doing to kind of keep, is it exercises you're doing to kind of keep that strength? Because I know I've been out with singers and, the sixth night, they're like, I can't even do it anymore.
Yeah,
right?
Well, it helps also. It did not scream as loud.
Right.
Is number one, and then water, drinking water instead of whiskey all day. What? You know, where I used to start at sound check. Now I drink a couple glasses of wine. Maybe after I play, and then two or three glasses of wine and keep it to that, And so, trying to get as much sleep, because that's probably the worst thing that you can do on the road is not get enough sleep. And then you're tired, like any muscle, your throat gets tired. And so, trying to be a mature 47-year-old man.
He's all grown up now.
Yeah. And my wife would differ on that opinion, but
yep. That's what
I say I am.
Well, we do have the Fluff and Gravy crew here, and of course we got big shows coming up. They have their fifth anniversary weekend here in Portland with many of their great artists playing Friday, Saturday, Sunday night. Now, you're the Sunday night.
We're the Sunday night,
okay,
yep.
Cool. And who's on the bill with you then?
The Hill Dogs are on the bill. Dan Stewart, like who I mentioned earlier from Green on Red, he's coming down with Thomas Heyman, who's played guitar with Alejandro Escovedo, John Doe, Chuck Prophet, on and on. He'll be accompanying him. And then Kevin Lee Florence is opening up the show. And so, and the other nights are great. Richard Fontaine and Vasilando and again, kissing ass again. That's an extra. Another. Give me another point.
Hey, Fernando, name drop my band.
Hill Stomp and several other great acts. Vacilando.
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 Valcindo.
Vacalando.
Well, do you want to play that song here off the talking about that?
Well, why don't we ask about the song that's on the Fluff and Gravy comp?
Because this is it,
you've got some really cool players on this, don't you?
Yeah, we got Peter Buck playing a rare guitar solo at the end of the song.
Heard of him.
Kind of not too shabby. And Paul Brainerd is on there, another Hall of Famer in there. And my regular guys like Louis Longmire's playing keys, Scott McCoy is playing some piano, Matt Cadinelli's on drums, Freddie Trujillo and from the DeLions, Rich Fontaine on bass.
You know, my regular guys, just the really good players in town.
Yeah. So they're pretty good. And we did this track. It was a track we recorded for the Leave the Radio On sessions, but it was, more of a country track, but we kind of recorded a few like that just to have them down. And then, then it was kind of sitting there, and we decided to give it to the Jeremy Wilson Foundation, because that's what the money from the 5 years of Gravy is for, to raise money for musicians that don't have health insurance. And so, and John was nice enough to donate, the funds from this record for that. And so please buy it.
There you go. Right on.
And come to the show on November 13th, too.
The whole weekend.
By the way, to your faces, all you guys, fantastic. To put this record together with all your artists who are all fantastic and to be given to the Jeremy Wilson Foundation, is you guys should be really proud of that.
Yeah.
So thank you very much. That's great. I think it's super great. And the album's loaded. Yeah, we just all got one in our hands tonight, and it's just loaded. It's well worth your money. And then that money is going towards keeping the musicians healthy. Right. So everybody wins.
Right.
So we're going to play your song. I'm going to back it up a tick. Give me a second. It might just bear with me for a second, but we're going to play that song. Here
we
go.
This is the radio debut, probably the song.
Yay!
Enjoy.
Whiskey and wine can lead you blind, take you on the path of the slow decline. Now I'm weeping and moaning, nobody's fault but mine. I once had a woman love me. She gave me all that she could, and she let me sink down, threw me no lifeline. Nobody's fault but mine. Show me a sign, if it's somebody's fault or mine. Lies, it's all that's left me. Time just gone by, regrets me nothing to me tonight.
Yeah, great sounding tune there, and of course Paul seems to have a pretty prominent role in that
yeah.
one.
Yeah,
yeah,
really
yeah.
washed in that nice mm-hmm. steel. So.
No, yeah, he did a great job on that one. Yeah,
right on.
Well, why don't we have you play us a tune?
Yeah,
okay.
I'd like to hear something live. That would be all right. Great.
Cool.
Let's get.
Let's see.
What you gonna work
what
on?
What am I gonna do here? Let's try a. Let's do True Instigator because of Trump's election and all that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
This song was written about 15 years ago, but. Could have been written for him, actually. He was a true instigator, purebred black man hater. Daddy used to dress like a ghost. Now he grown so much wiser, talk just like a lawyer, kills with a pen that he wrote. Sad
she died. Hey, you up in your big mansion, white picket fences, who you trying to keep out? There is monsters among us, trying to divide us, trying to tear us down. Sorry, sorry, sorry that you died. Sorry, sorry, sorry that you puts words in your mouth. Yes, sir, prophets have been murdered, victims now martyrs, blood is still laughing from the ground. Sorry, sorry, sorry that you died.
Thank you.
Thanks,
man.
Guys.
That was great. What's your writing process like? Do you come up with a tune in your head? You got words down, and then you work around it. How does it work with you?
Well, you know, I mean, it varies from record to record. I mean, sometimes it is that I've written down lyrics, and I kind of try to put it to some chord changes and stuff like that in a melody. But a lot of times, I mean, honestly, I just try to just not think about it that I'm writing a song and just kind of turn on a tape. Or it's these days my iPhone, you know, and just go for it. And then try to stream of conscious lyrics at first and then kind of build on a melody and then maybe a particular catchphrase or sentence catches me. And then I work on the song later on built around that. But a lot of times, I mean, the best songs I've written, I haven't really thought about them. You know, I think the more you work on a song, not to say that you can't work on it and edit it and fine tune it to make a good song. But I think the best songs are ones that kind of come out of nowhere and you just capture it, you know, and you don't get in the way of the song. You know, I think that's what people, I think sometimes start overthinking. Oh, I need a bridge or I need something tricky or, you know, or some interesting chord. Let me put a diminished, you know, whatever, you know. And so I just try to think like, well, if it works and it hits me, I try to keep as much of that original idea as possible, you know, without messing fucking with it.
Right on.
Nod to Cash.
Yes. to use Cash's language.
And now, how about that time frame, the downtime where you were healing and were you writing a lot? Do you feel like you got a backlog of like several records ready to go? Or
I do. Well, I mean, I always have a bunch of tunes. Like yeah. I said, I write. Not all of them are done. And probably at this point, none of them are done. But I do have, you know, probably always like 40 or 50 ideas, you know. And then sometimes I prefer just to have an idea because I think the more you refine it, if you're thinking about collaborating with people, and you're thinking about working arrangements, I kind of like to have that when I'm talking to my guys in the band, because then I know who's got the best part and know what to maybe spotlight more depending on the performance of it. So that's kind of a producer mentality in my head, you know. But in the sense of like songs, yeah, there's always songs around or ideas. But when I had the illness, the weird thing was that I couldn't tour for extended periods of time, but I could sing, you know. So it wasn't like I ever lost my voice. And like all this record, Leave the Radio On, all the vocals were recorded with the stomach problem and the throat problem. So it was just a matter of I couldn't go, you know, 3 days in a row in the studio. Maybe I'd go two and sing 3 hours and work on music for 4 or 5 hours, you know. So it was kind of, I had to pace myself. And then, you know, so now it's a matter of like trying to capture a bunch of ideas, and then maybe thematically, I'm like on this record, I'm thinking about a particular theme that I'm trying to go for, and then not be obvious with that theme. And so that's kind of the goal for this next record. Don't want to give away the theme yet, just in case I change my mind. But with the songs, but there is a theme that I'm trying to write songs around, but not making it, you know, black and white about what the record's about. Yeah. You know, so.
But your family history and your heritage seems to be a big part of the music throughout your recording career. And maybe you could take us back to, you know, your childhood when you first started picking up a guitar and tell us a little bit about, you know, where your folks are from and that kind of thing.
Yeah, well, I was born in Argentina, in Buenos Aires. My dad's from Argentina, from Italian family that immigrated. He's a third generation Argentinian. And my mother was born in Spain, in Galicia, in the northern coast of Spain. And she kind of left, you know, post-Spanish Civil War and Franco's regime. My grandfather fought against Franco, so there was always threats in these small villages of retaliation that happened to a lot of people. And so they went to Argentina, and then my parents, my mom, for one, immigrated again to the United States in 1971, and we grew up in the San Fernando Valley in a little city called Pacoima, which is where Richie Valens from La Bamba was from, and so it's primarily a Mexican-American neighborhood. So, you know, that was the first music that I was, you know, was listening to, is mariachi music, Tejano music, Tex-Mex music, you know, and 50s music. Because, you know, a lot of Chicanos, that's the big thing, the oldies, and particularly the doo-wop and the ballads, you know, the sadder, the more, you know, love song it is, the bigger it is. And that and The Cure, for some reason. Those two things that Chicanos are really attracted to. For some reason, I don't really understand the Robert Smith connection as much, but it's romantic. Well, it's romanticism in music. And so, but that was the kind of first music I was attracted to. And then my parents, because they're from Argentina, wanted me to learn tango music. And so they took me to the rec center in Pacoima, and they had, believe it or not, accordions, but they were adult size accordions. And have you guys ever played an accordion or tried to? But they're like 40 pounds. And so I was probably 60 pounds trying to haul this thing around. And I just couldn't do it. And I just, for me, my first thought of music was, this is too hard, like physically hard to lift. Not that it was technically hard. I was like, I can't do this. You mean you have to carry this instrument around? So I kind of gave up on music for a long time. Didn't pick up a guitar again until I was probably 17 years old. And then went through college and little by little got into a band. And then it went from there. That's the history.
Guitar's a lot lighter.
A lot lighter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right, mostly on an acoustic guitar. Yeah.
Cool. And did you find yourself just kind of plucking and figuring out tunes?
Yeah. You know, I'm not a real, you know, I play a little bit of everything. I play a little drums. I play a little piano, a little guitar. I'm not good at any of them. But it's enough for me to kind of write songs on, you know. So I never was one of these people that was into gear or into practicing a lot, you know. And I still don't like to practice a lot. So, you know.
But unlike us, we practice for this. We practice for this thing like all the
tell,
time. Yeah.
I can tell.
It's just constant.
Very pro action. You got going.
3 nights solid before here.
So yeah. I don't know. I mean, I just always liked writing tunes, and that was always fun for me. Mm-hmm. You know. So.
What about? I mean, you've got a history of writing in Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of a first language, not necessarily a second language, and there's a lot of your influences in there.
Yeah, I you know, there's a bunch of bands, particularly from the late 60s, early 70s, from Argentina that I was exposed to from friends of friends and some of the older cousins and stuff like that. Particularly one band, Pescado Rabioso, this guy named Luis Spinetta, who they called him the Flaco, and he was one of the leading front of progressive rock music. They were kind of a mix between Queen and Led Zeppelin, you know, and that's one of the bands I was pretty, you know, influenced by, mm-hmm. you know. Huaracio Guarani, who was a folk artist from in the Chaqueño tradition, which is our folk music, which kind of mixes Spanish music with indigenous music from the north of Argentina. Like that song on the new record, Leave the Radio On, So Loud. It's kind of influenced from that rhythm, is a Chaqueño rhythm that we tried to ape for that. And he was also a very political person in the midst of the military junta. He was singing songs about, you know, you can't silence the singer, and talking about politics and stuff like that. And then another in his tradition, but more of a rock and roll kind of Bob Dylan person, is Leon Gieco, who is a big influence and a big political force in Argentina still to this day. Yeah.
Right on. Well, maybe we can share a couple of these, Eric.
Yeah, we'll run through the influences here.
Friend picked a couple out for us here so we can turn our listeners into some of this stuff. Yeah.
All right. So we're going to burn through those right now.
Time I see you, Elena, I go wild. You're so very near to me, Elena, keeps me wild. I see your light glowing below. Are you home? In a show, Elena, I wish I could let you know.
To be with you. Superstición.
Calla el cantor, calla la vida, porque la vida misma es toda un canto. Si se calla el cantor, muere el espanto,
la esperanza, la luz y la alegría. Si se calla el canto, se quedan solos los humildes gorriones de los diarios. Los obreros del puerto se persignan. ¿Quién habrá de luchar por su salario? ¿Qué ha de ser de la vida si el que canta no levanta su voz en las tribunas? Por el que sufre, por el que no hay ninguna razón que lo condene a andar sin manta. Si se calla el cantor, muere la rosa. ¿De qué sirve la rosa sin el canto? Debe el canto ser luz sobre los campos, iluminando siempre a los de abajo. Que no calle el canto, porque el silencio cobarde apaña la maldad que oprime. No saben los cantores de agachada, no callarán jamás de frente al crimen. Que se levanten todas las banderas cuando el cantor se plante con su grito, que mil guitarras desangren en la noche una inmortal canción al infinito. Si se calla el cantor, calla la vida.
Song.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. That's a great one. I love that. Horacio Guarani was that one. And then the one before that was Pescado Rabioso, mm-hmm. Superstición.
Yep.
Superstition. And the first one was Mr. Dan Stewart, who will be playing with us on November 13th.
Elena.
For the
beautiful
Fluff and Gravy release.
Nice.
Yeah. Fantastic.
One more point.
That's awesome.
Five years of gravy. Cha-ching. Cha-ching. 5 years of gravy. Cha-ching. Big show next weekend. Cha-ching. That was great stuff. Thanks for sharing those with us,
yeah,
Fern.
Man,
that's nice. Yeah. I learn a little bit more about you every second.
Well, let's talk Fern into playing us another
yes,
song.
Yes, please. That would be great.
Because that's, we've got him.
He's in the helm.
He can't. We're not letting him out.
He's in the helm.
Let me pull this up closer.
Yep. We're
am I still
turn
getting
those
a level on there?
Yeah.
You still hear my vocal? 1-1?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, here we go. Let's do a Spanish one because we listened to a couple of Spanish tunes there. This goes out to my mom if she's listening.
Ay, mamá, contento soy cuando veo tus ojos para ti. La canción es para ti. Ay, mamá, ¿qué voy a hacer? Toda la vida, suerte y fe para ti. La canción es para ti. Nunca más te doy un abrigo en el frío, querida. Nada queda hoy pero una canción de un muerto, todo para ti. Ay, papá, ¿qué hice yo en esta vida causando dolor para ti? La canción es para ti. Ay, papá, me voy a ir a la gran ciudad de París para ti. La canción es para ti. Nunca más te doy un abrigo en el frío, querida. Nada queda. Pero una canción de un muerto, todo para ti. Ay, 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 ay. Canciones para ti. Ay, 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 ay. Canciones para ti. Ay, ay. Canciones para ti.
Beauty.
So nice.
Thank you, thank you.
Fantastic, Fern. What's the plans for the future?
Well, trying to go through some of those recordings we talked about earlier and figure out what I got. You know, I started listening to some songs I had on a old iPhone that I kind of had got broken, but I couldn't change the upload the songs into my new iPhone. But luckily, I kept that phone and forgot about it.
Yeah,
and so I have like maybe had some songs on the new iPhone. But then I listened to that old one. I'm like, oh, these are better songs than this one.
Cool.
And so I'd completely forgotten about them. And so that's good. So there's some new stuff to kind of just go through and then start working on it. Like, you know, I think a lot of the work goes into editing it. Like, even though your idea is good, you might have an arrangement kind of set up in the demo that you made at home. Then it's kind of working on the lyric, perfecting the arrangement a little bit better, and then figuring out, lyrically, which is on this record, will be after the fact because a lot of the melodies are already written, is what's going to work best and fitting into the theme of the record. Yeah, so that's what I'm going to be doing, hopefully, if I get off the road.
Nice.
Soon. Yeah.
Well, also, not a bad thing being on the road.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's
you
hard
got
to
some
write
good
on,
gigs coming
it's hard
up.
To write on the road. That's the only problem. It's not, now, but I'm home until February, so I have time.
Cool.
Yeah.
I was wondering if, now that you've made it back recently, a couple of trips to Europe, another one coming up. Any repeat business? You're seeing some folks who...
Oh, yeah, definitely. And through the internet because, you know, now that, like, I think on the last tour I did, I probably signed up through Facebook like 400 people.
Wow.
And cool. Sold like 500 and something CDs and vinyl records and stuff like that. And so those people kind of stayed in touch through Facebook and through Twitter and things like that. And so now that I've kind of announced this, things are starting to send me messages and they're getting excited. I mean, so that's great when you see that you're actually not going in vain, mostly when you're not the... You're just the support act, and you're not the headliner, and you never know how you're being perceived or how you're being accepted. And so it's been good so far. I'm pretty happy with it.
Right on.
We talk about this often, Mike. You and I have been doing this a long time. We talk about how there is a strong presence over in Europe for that the Americana music. And it just seems like some of the people we know that have finally gotten that tour and done those things have come back and been like, oh, my God. They love it over there, and they eat it up.
No matter what country you go to, there's this kind of, you know, kind of the, you know, they picture America as this kind of the Wild West or the desert, and that kind of romanticism, getting back to that again, is big with these people in the UK. And I think that, you know, for all the things that they don't like about America, and they will tell you, they have quite a bit, but and they're not afraid to tell you, sure. But they do, in particular, the Americana music speaks to that kind of old West romanticism, freedom, hitting the road, Kerouac, you know.
And it's also like touring the East Coast. There's a city close by. It's not like touring here on the West Coast where it's like Seattle, Portland, San Francisco, right. You know, like.
Right. Well, and it makes it logistically easier.
Yeah, so you can hit all the.
But I mean, I think the audiences in general are just, at least the ones that I've been exposed to because of who I've been opening for, really gravitate towards that Americana. And, yeah. And it's also Americana is a pretty broad
sure.
kind of term, and that's why Dan Stewart hates it. When I went on tour with him, he's don't say that word. Don't fucking say that word, Fernando. He hates Americana. So don't, when you see him, to watch saying Americana yeah. around him. Well, it is. I mean, because it is. I mean, does that include blues music? Yeah. You know, somehow, a lot of times it is, but a lot of people, particularly in Europe, don't put African-American music into that category. It kind of becomes country or hillbilly music, bluegrass music, you know. So that kind of gets typically put in the Americana genre, which jazz is Americana. I mean, what's more American than jazz, right? You know, so, you know, so Zydeco or, you know, that has the French influence. I mean, so it's kind of, so when you kind of limit yourself, rather than calling it what it is it it's just country, or maybe it's just rock and roll, you know? You don't have, and I think it's kind of been marketed in a certain way, and it's important over there because you put the Americana tag on a show in Europe and people tend to
pay attention
to it because they like that kind of music. So I see both sides of it. So I'm not that much of a term or a genre Nazi about the term.
Like that guy, like, over there.
You're like, yeah, or Dan. Dan's more particular, and I see where he's coming from.
Not yeah. cha-ching. No, not a cha-ching.
Not
cha-ching.
That's a negative yeah, right. penny. I have to give back a sure. penny.
Yeah, you totally have to give him the penny on the way out of here. Actually, I think you're up 3 cents, actually, at this point. Yeah. Up four, down one, right, up 3 cents. John owes you 3 cents on the way out the door.
What about the local? Seems like we have a lot of, you know, guys who you hang around with, like Freddie. Mm-hmm. Other guys who are bringing, you know, Spanish language to rock and roll, guys like Joshua James. Mm-hmm. You guys got any kind of like a little community that you would
oh,
call?
Oh, yeah, those are yeah. all old friends of yeah, mine. Yeah. Well, Freddie's in my band,
yeah,
for
yeah.
one. That's sure. that's a connection. And then Joshua used to be in a band called Joshua James and the Runaway Trains. And yeah. so we used to play together back mm-hmm. in the 90s. So, yeah.
Rock and
I mean,
roll
I wish there was
Espanol.
More Latino. I mean, I think like Luz from, you know, Tiburones, mm-hmm. and she brings a lot, a completely different aesthetic to it. Steve Berlin lives here now. Mm-hmm. But I mean, in the sense of young bands, I just like to see more Latino bands. I mean, when I put out Pacoima 98, we kind of had to go out and play in East LA, you know, mm-hmm. and kind of in a lot of bands from Los Angeles kind of helped us out. And so we brought bands back to play at the Satyricon with us.
Right.
And so bands like Olean and the Blues Experiment and bands like that, which are in Quetzal is another band. But there's just, I mean, just in the younger generation, I mean, we're kind of the older guard. So, you mm-hmm. know, I don't like to admit that, but we're, you know, yeah. pushing 50. I would like there to be a younger Chicano or Spanish rock scene, rock and Espanol scene. Mm-hmm. And you would think because of the demographics have grown, mm-hmm. there are more Latinos, way more. Like, I could go by Fernando, just Fernando, because I was the only Fernando. To
yeah, right,
it's an exaggeration, right. but yeah. obviously, I mean, it's like, it was Fernando. It was like, you do that in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And they would go, like, which one? Like, which one of the thousands?
Valenzuela.
You know, here it was like, oh, yeah, that guy, Fernando, the Argentinian dude that sings on the street. You know, so it was easier to do here than it was to do in Los Angeles. But I think that's changed considerably. And you see it in restaurants and the culture and more events and, you know, Latino events. So it'd be nice that the music scene grew in that sense. So,
right on.
Beauty. So we still have another song from Fern here in the pocket here.
Yeah.
Right?
Should we share it?
Yep. From Celos?
Which one is? This Celos? Is which is Celos. Okay. Yeah, this is a song off of True Instigator, a Spanish language song.
Y el sol
se quemó y oscuro se volvió. Me traté de reír como nada pasó y la luna lo mató. Por celo pienso yo, es peligroso agarrar tanta atención. Ten cuidado, linda flor, no demuestres tu color. Nadie le gusta un fanfarrón. No te olvides que te dije yo. En tiempo van a hablar y a vos te va a manojar. Recibir tanta atención. Cuidado, madre, me estoy cayendo. Cuidado, madre, me estoy muriendo. Estoy cayendo y ahora se ríe otra vez. Ay, otra vez. Sos el sol antes de quemar y la muerte se terminó y la angustia vive en vos. Ten cuidado recibir tanta atención.
Celos.
Celos, that means jealousy. It's a parable about the moon getting jealous of the sun. Oh, and cool. It's kind of so he plots to extinguish it from the sky.
Oh, wow. Nice idea.
Right on. Very poetic.
Yeah.
Beautiful song.
Cool. What do you say we get you to play one more for us?
Yeah, that would be so great.
Yeah. Something from the Fluff and Gravy record.
No.
Chink, cha-ching.
John's like, all right, I'm done with this. Yeah. No more. I'm out of money.
The less I hear, the more less I have to pay him.
He's like, I just went to the World Series. I don't have any money for you.
Bankrupt.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know you got to up the ante to get that money back.
I was sleepwalking, my eyes were shut. Earth felt wet beneath my feet. Following voices seemed so familiar. All felt too real to be a dream. Outside the dogs, they were barking. Wind was pushing hard against the leaves. Faces of the people that had died long ago, trying to say something to me. They warned of this world, hatred and greed. I got scared to ride into the woods. Ran amongst the oaks and magnolia trees, shed myself of all worldly goods. And outside the dogs they were barking, wind was pushing hard against the leaves. Faces of the people that had died long ago, trying to say something to me. Seeing is believing. Death is like dreaming. Boys, I think that I'm ready to go. I'll change my direction, cure this infection. All if you just leave me alone. Lord, just leave. Sunrising high above the trees. Laid beside the river, lungs felt weak. Suddenly I began to breathe. And outside the dogs they were barking. Wind was pushing hard against the leaves. Faces of the people that had died long ago, trying to say something to me. They were trying to say something to me.
That was a great song. Came out of the gate firing right there. I'm going to go out on a high note right there. Vern, thank you so much. It's a real honor to have you here.
Thank you for coming out
and spending some time. Fluff and Gravy, thanks for being here. Look forward to your five-year anniversary party.
Congratulations.
Yep, that's
to
huge.
All involved.
Congratulations to all that.
Come out and support Fluff and Gravy. He's putting out great music for 5 years, and it's been terrific to all of us. So
cha-ching.
Thanks.
I didn't even mean that one.
I think he meant that one from the heart. That wasn't about money. Yeah, that was my
all
bad.
All the other ones were insincere. Yeah, that one.
That was my bad. That was definitely my bad.
And we want to thank Cash for the mic drop earlier.
Yeah, that one's I rehearsed all day. This one came out from my cold, bitter heart.
You guys are doing great. Everybody's doing great. Thank you so much. You guys love having you all here. It's been a ton of fun. We have so much fun on the show. We always encourage you guys to go see live music. Please keep doing that every night of the week. So much great stuff going on here in Portland all the time. And if you're listening and you're outside of Portland, you know there's great shows in your town, so go see them. Little shout out to our sponsors, Secret Aardvark. Hello.
Secret Aardvark Trading Company, the makers of the world's finest jalapeno.
It's a hot sauce that'll kick you in the mouth.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, indeed.
Cloud City Gardens.
Growers of some of the finest
steroids.
Steroids. In the land.
Yep.
So you're talking about language.
Yes, our friends at
So we have a little gift package for you, Fern, on the way out from Mota. We're going to do some of that stuff. And
parting gifts.
Parting gifts.
Steroids. Yeah, and everybody, don't forget about, check our calendar. You'll see those dates for the Fluff and Gravy Celebration. Yep. It's Friday, Saturday, Sunday night, 11, 12, and 13. Thank you, Fern. Three unbelievable nights of music. Fernando's show is Sunday night at Star Theater. It's going to be an epic night.
And there's tons of great music coming to the city of Portland.
Yeah, there's so much coming up. But not to take away from Fluff and Gary, but also on the 13th at the Crystal, the Lisa Lapine tribute night is happening. I definitely want to make mention of that. So many people are going to be there performing. Donating again, another Jeremy Wilson Foundation.
You're only a few blocks away.
Yeah, just go to both. Yep, go.
I am gonna do both.
Yep, you know Philly's gonna do.
Just follow
the
Philly.
Hub. Yep,
or just the cloud.
Yeah, Jeremy's doing both.
Fall.
Pigpen.
Yeah, I bet you Jeremy's gonna be bouncing back and forth too. So,
yeah, absolutely.
One way or another, get out there, support, love, and do all the good stuff. Yeah. So. Anything else?
No. Thank you, Fernando, once again. Thanks, thanks to the crowd for coming
out. Thanks, you guys. It's always fun being here. Fluff and Gravy, thank you. Fernando, thank you, brother. All right. What a great
night. We got a song to go out with?
Yeah, absolutely. We'll find something here. Nope, we played them all.
I think we played
them all. Did we play them all? All right, then never mind.
Yeah.
On that note,
yeah.
See you next time.
That much for the West Podcast.